ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹ. ஓம் கணானாந்த்வா கணபதிகும் கவிம் கவீனாமுபவஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜேஷ்டராஜம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஶ்ருண்வந்நோதிபிஸ் சீத சாதனம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணாதிபதயே நம. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். அஹம் வைஷ்வானரோ பூத்வா ஜ்ஞானினாம் பிராணினாம் தேஹமாஸ்ரித. பிராணாபானசமாயுக்தஃ பசாம்யன்னஞ்சதுர்விதம். ஸோ சதுர்விதம் அன்னம் பச்சாமி. ஸோ தட் இஸ் தி வைஸ்வானரா. ஸோ தி பாயிண்ட், தி இன்ட்ரெஸ்டிங் பாயிண்ட் இன் இட் இஸ் தி ஃபவுண்டேஷன் ஆஃப் லிவிங். வி ஹாவ் வாட் இஸ் கால்டு லைஃப். லைஃப் இஸ் ரியலி எ ஃப்ளோ அண்ட் தட் இஸ் வாட் வி கால் லிவிங். வி லிவ் ஃப்ரம் டே டு டே டு டே டு லைக் தட் வி லிவ் என் என்டையர் லைஃப். But the foundation of living is not personal. The entire living is personal. It is a person's life. The person wakes up, the person studies, the person earns a degree, the person gets a job, makes money, gets married, gives birth to children, has pleasures, pains, and all the desires and fears. It's all a person's living. But the person's living is the surface movement. Underneath the person's living, the core or the base is life. That is not personal. Like, for example, inhalation and exhalation, which is the basic mechanism of sustaining life in this body, that is not personal. Inhalation is it is not personal, it is universal. Every life inhales and exhales. It is so universal that what the plants exhale, we inhale, and what we exhale, they inhale. It is so closely connected with each other. There is nothing personal about it. It is entirely impersonal, and universal it is. And also, the person is the ego, the body-mind identified entity, which is called also, which is the ego, is also called the person. So the person, he doesn't inhale and the person doesn't exhale. That is the funny thing. The person doesn't inhale and person doesn't exhale. Person is busy with his business deals, whereas inhalation and exhalation somebody else is doing. You are not inhaling and you are not exhaling. You are busy with other things, busy with living. Whereas life is sustained by somebody else. So that somebody else is called Vamana. Vamana means chota. So madhye vamana masinam vishve deva upasate urdhvam pranam unnayati apanam pratyagasyati madhye vamana masinam vishve deva upasate. This is from Kathopanishad. Etadvaitat. Etadvaitat means that Brahman which you are asking about is this only. What is that? The vamana. It is very short. Because if it is long, it cannot fit here. So it is Vamana, very short-like. So it is sitting here. Vamanam asinam. Asana, asina, you know. So sits here, doesn't move. And brings in, inhales in and exhales out. That is life. And once that is in place, you create a living on it. There is life and you create a living. You manufacture a living over that. Similarly, you take the food in and Vaishvanara digests the food and provides strength, energy or nutrition to all the limbs. That is Samana. Samana means equal, same. So Vaishvanara, he digests the food. Suppose he digests, say, you have put in let us say 1000 calories. That is a bit too much, really speaking. But still, let us say 1000 calories is put in. And so Vaishvanara takes out all those 1000 calories. And now he distributes it. How? equitably, not equally. If he distributes equally 1,000 calories, the legs which walk and the eyes which see, if they get the same calories, then legs will not be able to walk much and eyes will protrude out. Therefore, not equally, equitably. To see with the eyes, you need some energy. To think, you need energy. Brain requires energy. Hands, speech, legs, and even digestion itself requires energy. So all that energy is distributed equitably. That is called samana, one of the functions of the life force, vital force. So all this operation, it is not personal. There is nothing personal in it. The person is nowhere near that. So, therefore, the personal means a person is there and things belong to that person. The person is called me. And whatever belongs to that person, my car, my dog, my wife, etc., that is mama, mamakara. The ahankara, mamakara, they are the essence of the person. They are entirely false. There is no truth in it. The truth is the underlying life. That is the truth. That is the atma. And so we have to recognize some of these things, like hunger is not personal, breathing is not personal, life is not personal. There is nothing personal about it. And so personal is a shadow, it's a phantom, entirely a product of the mind. And you can get rid of it also. You should get rid of it. So nirmamo nirahankaraha sa shantimadhikacchati. So, vihaya kaman yasarvan pumaunscharati nispruhaha nirmamo nirahankaraha. So, the desire and the fears that the desires create, they are the focal points of the person or ego. Therefore, give up all the desires, you give up. Vihaya kaman yasarvan. You will become free from fears also. Desires and fears will go away. Desire means fear will also go away. Then, that crystallization of me and mine, you can get rid of it easily. Because the desire and fear are the focal points of me, focal points of ego. So then you become, first you become nirmama, get rid of mine. And then become nirahankara, get rid of aham, ahankara. So they are called vairagya and viveka respectively. Then you gain shanti, which is moksha. Therefore that is the direction in which we have to work. And in that direction, this upasana, this Vaishvanara upasana, it is very useful. These upasanas are very important. Students of Vedanta, they have to undertake upasanas. So there are rituals, then upasanas, and then jnana. So rituals become less and less important, upasanas become more important, and eventually everything resolves in jnanam. That is the direction. Karma, upasana, jnanam. That is the movement. Anyway, this is the Vaishvanara upasana. Shankara makes a comment here. Tadetad ubhayam, ubhayam agni shomau sarvam. Iti pasyataha anna dosha lopo na bhavati. So it's an upasana, a visualization, and it has a reward also. Reward in the sense the person remains pure. The purity is retained. Impurity will not be there. It is not physical. For a karma person, purity means physical. He has taken bath or not, did not touch anybody, wears the kosher clothes, that kind of purity for the karma. For the upasaka, the purity is not physical. That is there. That purity, I am not saying it is not needed, but purity should be manaha, that is upasana. So in the mind, purity should be there. So these are some of the impurities, like desires and fears are the main impurities, and the me and mine they create, they also constitute the major impurity. And therefore, so all these impurities can be overcome, the mind can be made pure, and hence worthy of wisdom, the realization of the self, by this upasana. So this Vaishvanara upasana. If you want further details, you may refer to the fifth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. You may say the next verse. Just one more thing. So, anna dosha will not be there. So, the impurities coming from food could be overcome. That is what Shankara said, anna dosha will not be there. The food impurity, the impurity related to food that we consume, that itself is of four types. This is the remark I said I will make before going to the next verse. So there are four kinds of impurities. One is called nimitta dosha, means the food that is prepared is pure, nothing wrong with it, but it is made impure by coming into contact with an impure thing. That is the nimitta dosha. Like the food that is served, suppose some hair falls into it, the strands of hair fall in it, that becomes impure. And so hygiene-wise becomes impure, and also the pavitrata, it gets defiled also. That's why you see some of these people who prepare food, they wear some headgear so that the hair doesn't get disturbed. Hair won't fall in the food. But some of them wear such a lengthy hat, I think that is all dikhavat, it is showy it is. There is no fun value for that, I suppose. That is all for showing to people that he is something. There must be some such thing. Some of these things which people put in place, some of these values, they do not have any sense associated with them. So that means you can call them nonsensical. Because there is no sense in it. So what else to call? The dinner jacket. Why do you want dinner jacket? You can keep whatever dress you have and go and have food. Dinner jacket. I always remember a place. I went for food and they said, unless you wear a tuxedo, you cannot take food here. So now, I don't need a tuxedo. Food is, I already checked, food is clean. I wanted some of that and I am hungry. And why should I need tuxedo? No, to enter the hall you should wear tuxedo. Okay, I don't enter, you give it to me here, I will sit here. Finally, just to satisfy my friend, I had to hire a tuxedo. Somebody is hiring tuxedos by the side. Business, you see. So that means these two guys are in collusion. The poor person who puts the rule, and then there is something to hire immediately. And so you hire a tuxedo, $10 for 2 hours. 2 hours or 1 hour. So that is not the point. So nimitta dosha. Nimitta dosha should not be there. Then swabhava dosha. Like the food by its very nature is impure. Like some of the things that we are not supposed to eat. So that is that kind of food, if it is put in, that becomes a swabhava dosha. By its very nature, it is wrong. Then ashraya dosha means the vessel is impure. Or the vessels where the food is prepared, they are impure, whatever. So that is the ashraya dosha. Then the final dosha, dosha is a blemish. The food can have such blemishes. These are all common sense points only. But I just mentioned, the final blemish is svatva dosha. This is a critical thing. The person who offers you the food, if he is a smuggler or a mafia guy, so you may not take his food. Because some dosha, some blemish, papa, will be associated with that food. Because he commits some murder or some such thing and then makes a lot of money and then serves nice food free to the guests. And so we all wear tuxedos and all that and eat that food. So that brings in a lot of impurity into the system. So all these impurities should be avoided, and the upasana also helps in purifying the mind. That Vaishvanara upasana. Fine. Next verse. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtah. That is one sentence. మత్తస్మృతిర్జ్ఞానమపోహనంచ. సో దట్ ఇస్ ది సెకండ్ సెంటెన్స్. వేదైశ్చ సర్వైరహమేవ వేద్యః. థర్డ్ సెంటెన్స్. వేదాంత కృద్వేద విదేవ చాహం. ది ఫోర్త్ సెంటెన్స్. ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్స్. సో ఈశ్వర, అహం ఇస్ ఈశ్వర. సో వేర్ ఈజ్ ఈశ్వర? సి, యూ కెన్ సింప్లీ సే ఈశ్వర ఇస్ ఎవర్వేర్. దట్ ఈస్ ట్రూ, ఈశ్వర ఇస్ ఎవర్వేర్. బట్ వేర్ కెన్ ఐ రియలైజ్ ఈశ్వర? దట్ ఈస్ ది పాయింట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఇన్ సమ్మర్ ఇన్ ఇండియా ఇట్ ఈస్ హాట్ అండ్ వెరీ మగ్గీ. You, there is so much sweat and all that, and you feel very uncomfortable. We want some air, a breeze will help to become comfortable. It makes us comfortable. So where is breeze? So you say air is everywhere. That doesn't help. Air is everywhere doesn't help. You still suffer from that muggy feeling, sweat and all that. So you need to have a fan. When there is a fan, air is everywhere, true, but that fan makes the air available to you. You can feel the air, the sense of touch. It gets activated, and so it feels the touch of the air. As the skin feels the touch of the air, it relaxes and you feel comfortable. Therefore, air is everywhere is a simplistic statement that doesn't help. You need a fan to churn that air so that you feel the presence of air. Similarly, Ishvara is everywhere, so what? So Ishvara is everywhere statement, it doesn't help much. It is okay, that is a vision, finally that is the truth also, but it doesn't help much. It is like there is a lot of money in Bank of America, something like that. So that doesn't help much. So a dollar or two in your hands is important. So Ishvara is everywhere. Everything is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. You tell me everything is Ishvara. So it is like a bombastic statement. It doesn't mean anything at all. Everything is not Ishvara. Everything is divided into opposites. Not Ishvara. Where is Ishvara? So be honest about it. So everything is Ishvara is a kind of an expression. It's true. I am not saying it is not true, but that expression it doesn't serve a useful purpose, except that is where you have to reach, and that is a wonderful truth. All that is fine, but that doesn't help. So because everything is Ishvara, true. What all you see is God only. That is also true. In fact, all are seeing God only. That is also true. But people do not know it. As long as you do not know it, it is as good as not seeing only. Therefore, you have to know Ishvara. That is important. Then somebody may say, okay, so everything is Ishvara, everything is Ishvara. If it doesn't work to you, I will show you Ishvara in a temple. That is the next alternative. It is more meaningful it is now. It makes some sense. Everything is Ishvara, but mind doesn't acquire that Ishvarakara. The mind has to acquire the form, a mental form of Ishvara. Like when the mind cognizes a part, the mind is the thought. The thought acquires the shape of the part. That is how the cognition of the part happens. Because, part is cognized, right? Part is cognized. So the object of the cognition is part. Now that object of the cognition cannot be this part, because it is physical and it is sitting outside. And cognition does not happen here. కాగ్నిషన్ హ్యాపెన్స్ హియర్ హృదయదేశే వర్తతే నాట్ ఘటదేశే దేర్ ఫోర్ కాగ్నిషన్ ఈజ్ హియర్ వాట్ కాగ్నిషన్ ది కాగ్నిషన్ ఆఫ్ పాట్ ఈజ్ హియర్ దేర్ ఫోర్ పాట్ షేప్ ఈజ్ హియర్ దెన్ ఓన్లీ దేర్ కెన్ బి పాట్ కాగ్నిషన్ సో వాట్ ఈజ్ దట్ పాట్ షేప్ ద థాట్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఎక్వైర్స్ ది షేప్ ఆఫ్ ది పాట్ దట్ ఈస్ హౌ ద కాగ్నిషన్ హ్యాపెన్స్ therefore any object is cognized by the thought by acquiring that object that form the thought itself acquires that form that is how you cognize so I will put it in a slightly different way the mind cognizes the object by becoming the object are you okay with it So the mind becomes the object. Mind becomes the part. How can mind become part? Part is a clay thing, you know. Arepa, part is not clay thing. Part is an idea. It's a form. Mind can become that. And that is how it becomes. And that is the part you are seeing. The mind becomes the part, and that part-shaped mind you see. That's why, where is part now? Here. What is outside? Murtiketcheva satyam. So, mind becomes like part-like when it cognizes the part. Now that mind has to become Ishvara-like. That is called contemplation upon Ishvara. The mind has to contemplate upon Ishvara. Mind has to contemplate Ishvara. Suppose mind doesn't contemplate Ishvara, then what will happen? Either the mind is asleep, which is fine, you are taking some rest, God bless, fine. Or it will be contemplating upon the world, that is not fine at all. Because as you contemplate upon the world, you pick up sorrow, worry, fear, desire, all in one word, stress, that is what you pick up. Because thought produces stress. Stress produces illness of the body as well as of the mind. Mind illness of the mind is what is called dukkha. Therefore, the mind, you allow it to go to sleep. If it is time to sleep, let it go to sleep. Don't disturb it. Let it go to sleep. But if it is awake and it is not time for sleeping, don't allow it to engage itself with the world. A constant contemplation of the worldly things is a disease. And the name of it is called roga, disease. And the name of that roga, disease, is bhava roga. So samsara disease it is. That is the disease. Physically there is nothing. The mind constantly contemplating upon the things of the world. Suppose you are constantly contemplating upon the movement of the stock market. So this stock 17.09. In another half an hour it became 17.11. So what is the gain for me? 0.02 into 10,000. I gained $20. This kind of thing, it is crazy, it is, I tell you. So that is not the way to live a life. In fact, mind should not contemplate at all on the things of the world. Mostly should not concentrate at all. For some practical things like going to the guest house, going to the lunch room, you need the mind. And after having lunch to go to the room again, you need the mind. For such needs is okay. But not about contemplation of the mind. Upasana should not be of the world. Then what should be the upasana? There is only one alternative left. That is Ishvara. And the temple serves a purpose in that direction in a preliminary way. Therefore, mind has to contemplate upon Ishvara. Ishvara dhyanam should be there. Suppose it is not there, what? Samsara dhyanam will be there. There is no other way. Mind is a flow. It has to flow. Either this direction or otherwise that direction it will go. So Ishvara dhyanam should be there. Okay, Ishvara is everywhere. That doesn't serve any purpose. It is like saying, I want a fan. No, why fan? Air. I want air. Air is everywhere. That doesn't work. So, in a preliminary way, temple helps. When you go to the temple, mind somehow in its own way, it dissociates from the world and tries to attach itself to Ishvara, whatever concept of Ishvara it has, which is fine. In the preliminary way, it is fine. To begin with, that is fine. Like kindergarten, children, so 3 plus 2, so they count beads. Fine, at least something they are doing. Therefore, temple. But then you have to move forward. Temple is not the end, it is only the beginning. So you have to move forward. So how to move forward? I am in your heart. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. Ishvara is in you, in your heart. First in you, then in me where? In your heart. So that is the movement. So you have to discover that Ishvara is not a person. If Ishvara is a person, you cannot say Ishvara is sitting in me. That becomes a problem. So that doesn't work, you know. So Ishvara is not a person. Therefore, let us say divinity. So you have to come out of this person idea. This is Vedanta, you know. In a different context, it may be all right. But in Vedanta, you have to come out. Otherwise, Hridayasya. So if you ask the artist what he will do, he will put the heart figure. And inside the heart figure, he will put some figure, whichever figure you want. So it should not be like that. Therefore, Ishvara is in you. So Ishvara is a principle, a tattvam it is. That is the word tattvam. That is the tattvam. Atma tattvam, they say. In this context, it is Bhagavat tattvam. The principle, the reality called Ishvara. In other words, the divinity is in you. So that is the movement. That is the progress. So the divinity is in the temple. Fine. You are the temple. You are the temple. Heart is the temple. So the divinity is in you. How? How in me? In fact, is the Vaishvanara means the divinity is controlling you and is directing you. That is called Antaryami. So the Antaryami, inner controller and director, one who directs and one who controls, that is the Antaryami. So Ishvara is directing and controlling you. So now the entire seeking turns inward. So you have to seek Ishvara. So now you seek Ishvara in the heart. Seek in you, seek within. So, how to seek within? How to seek Ishvara within? So, it has to begin with viveka. So, you have to abandon the wrong identification with the body and all that. So, you have to go within. And you have to discover that divinity in you. See, in a pilgrimage, they go to Ganga and take bath in Ganga. So when you take bath in Ganga, that Ganga feels very cold and it will make you shiver like that. But then the Ganga in Himalayas is not easy to take bath. And then if you come to Kashi Ganga, it may not make you shiver, but it may make you sick. You never know. Because very impure and all that. Therefore, I said that because there is a Ganga in you. Why not go into that inner Ganga? So Kashi, Kashi is in you. Ganga is in you. So that inner Ganga in you, you bathe in it. That inner Ganga. It will not make you feel cold. It will not make you shiver. So, you take a bath in that inner Ganga. And then, Then we go to, say, Kashi or Ganga for bath, etc. We give up a few things. They give up. Generally, they give up. In India, when they go to Kashi, they give up a few things. They give some money. And also they give up, this is encouraged. There is a good point in it. You take up something among the eatables which you like most and you give it up. Because giving up is the most important thing, you know. Tyaga. Gita is a tyaga. Gita you reverse, what you will get? Tyaga, like that. So you have to give up. That idea is encouraged. That is the spirit of a pilgrimage. Therefore in Kashi you give up. What should I give up? Something that you eat, you should give up. Rice you won't. Don't give up rice. So that is the staple food. You cannot give up rice. Okay, then what remains is curries. The vegetables, a variety of vegetables people eat. And so one of them you give up. Okay, let us give up this this bitter thing, you know, bitter gourd is there, let us give up that. Should not be like that. What is the most liked by you among curries? Also eggplant. It is most liked. In South India it is very popular. Not the eggplant of the American kind, which is too big in size, and the taste is also somewhat different. Whereas the Indian eggplant, it is smaller in size, and cooked well in a particular way, it tastes quite well. So that this guy likes the most, and therefore now he has to give up that eggplant. They tell, you give up. So there is a small ritual. So you take water of Ganga in your hand and give up. So I am now giving up eggplant. And so for that life, he won't eat eggplant anymore. Some giving up. So similarly here, you have to seek within. You have to seek the divinity within. Now the Kashi is inside. The Ganga is inside. Meditation is the Ganga. Meditation is the Ganga. So you meditate for half an hour. So you have taken a dip in Ganga. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. You have to go start to meditate. That is the meaning of it. Simply saying, okay, in every one of your hearts there is God, and in every my heart also there is God. The God seems to be everywhere. Come on, let us have lunch. That is not going to help. That doesn't help at all. So you have to make it a real, real pilgrimage. These sentences should not be made simplistic. They are not simplistic. They are too very profound. They are. So you have to go inside now. Go inside. Kashi is the heart, and then the shrine and Ishvara is there, and Ganga. So meditation is the Ganga. Then what you have to give up? You have to give up the eggplant like thing, most liking. You have to give up the me. You have to give up. You have to give up possessions, mine, and also the possessor, me. These two you have to give up. That is called meditation. If you keep me and mine in meditation, that is not real meditation. You can always accommodate even a non-meditation. By giving it a name meditation, you can accommodate it, because you don't want to reject anything. Let it be, somebody is doing something good, why to denounce it or why to reject it? Therefore you accommodate it. But strictly, really, really speaking, if there is mine and me, then there is no meditation. And either you are sleeping, when there is no me and mine, or you are meditating where there is no me and mine. So you have to develop that skill, that knack of merging in that pure being, pure awareness. It is not even difficult. By dropping all sense of mine and me, even with regard to the body, you cannot have mine, my body, no. Me, the body, no. No, all that has to be dropped. And then you are now in communion with Ishvara. So sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. So first you have to discover Ishvara in the heart. For that, the mind should be turned inward. When the mind is turned outward, so you see, it is like this. You have a lamp, and you turn the lamp, take the lamp into the room, then all the objects of the room appear, are illuminated by the lamp. But the lamp itself derives its light from the sun. Take it like that. Everything comes from the sun only. The lamp derives its light from the sun. Lamp is not self-luminous. Sun is the self-luminous. The lamp derives its light from the sun. When the lamp is turned towards the objects shine in the light of this lamp. But now you don't want the objects to shine because you don't want to contemplate upon the objects. So now what you have to do, this lamp should turn towards its source, that is the sun. To see the sun, you don't need the lamp. But you need the light of this lamp to merge in the sun. That is what you have to do. That is the lamp, which is the mind. Mind is the lamp, which derives its illumination from the sun of Atma, which is Ishvara, sitting in the heart. So, sarvasyacham hrudi sannivishtaha means, I would like to put it this way, because I feel by putting it this way, it becomes practical. Practical in the sense not dumbbells or any such thing. Practical in the sense it is something the doable. Doable, and it applies to the life. In that sense I am saying. So, the physical dimension is there, very well-known thing, physical body. Some pain is there, we run to the doctor for the physical thing only. And then there is the psychological dimension, which is the mind. And now when he says, sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha, what does it mean? So body, physical body is there. In addition to my own physical body, some other small physical body is sitting here in the heart. No, no, certainly not. That becomes a nuisance also. That is not the case. Then, who is sitting in the heart cannot belong to the psychological dimension. Already I have my own mind with all kinds of problems. And if some other piece of mind is added to that mind, so that is not the point. So now we are talking of a dimension, a reality, which pervades the mind and the body, but which is not the mind and the body. Don't bother about the body. Leave it behind. We have already covered that. Which is not the mind. Which pervades the mind, but which is not the mind. Which is something beyond the mind. Something other than the mind, or which is same as beyond the mind. So that is what you are looking at. Therefore, you have to now turn this lamp called mind away from the objects of the world. A world is like a room. The lamp, you take it, all objects come to light. That is how the mind is. Sleeping, the mind comes out, and now that is the lamp, ready to shine, that is shining already, because it gets the illumination from the higher dimension, that is the divinity, inside. And so, that lamp of the mind, you turn towards the world. Then this is my home, this is my wife, my daughter, my son, my bank account, it starts like that. The same routine starts. What we call samsara. Samsara means the same old thing in the some names and forms change. There is no reality to that. It is all shadow. There is no truth in it. It is dreamlike. That is the mind engaging in that. That is the samsara. So how long will we do that? Some of it is anyway inevitable. We do it to the required extent. We do it. But you see, it is like some place is dirty. So take a broomstick and clean up. You have to do it. You don't get any reward by cleaning up with a broomstick. But it needs to be done. So like that, this is called pratipatti karma. Some name is there in Mimamsa. Means by doing it, you don't get any reward. But it needs to be done, so we do it. Therefore, you need to do a few things in the world. And the mind has to do that. So do it. Having done it, Don't sit there. Like take the broomstick and sit in the waste basket. That kind of a thing should not be done. So, you take this lamp of the mind, which illuminates the world. Now turn this lamp of mind, not outward anymore, turn it inward. And then what happens? This lamp of mind is not going to illuminate the Atma or Brahman. You turn the lamp towards the sun. Then what will happen? The lamp will illuminate the sun? Silly. Lamp is not going to illuminate the sun, but still you have to turn the lamp towards the sun. An illustration. Similarly, the lamp called mind is turned towards, turned within. Then it is not going to illuminate what is within. You should not assume like that again. So mind is now will know the Brahman. Mind will not know the Brahman. Mind will merge in its source. As it is turned within, it merges in its source. That is what Bhagavan is telling. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. And that hrut is that in which this lamp of the mind is going to merge. That is what is called the meditation. Abidance in Atma. You call it Ishvara Dhyanam. That is the language of the bhakti people. The same thing is called Atmanishtha by the jnana people. Swasvarupanusandhanam bhaktirityabhidhiyate. That is what Shankara says. So whether you call it dhyana, bhakti, or you call it jnanam, this is how it happens. You abide in your own swarupa. This is the meaning of that statement, sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. You see, once you abide in yourself, then slowly you gain that insight of that divinity. So, because when the mind, which is ever active in contemplating upon the things of the world, so now it cools down a little. It is like an engine which has become hot, running, hot. So what you do? So you stop the engine for a while, so that it will cool down. Similarly, the mind which is active, hyperactive, it creates so much trouble for people. It becomes an inner tormentor as it remains hyperactive. Hyperactive, I said just to make a point, it applies equally well when we say active. You don't need to be active. For example, when you are attending this class, your mind is not active. If your mind is active, it means you are elsewhere. You are not in the class. You are sitting in the class and paying attention to what is going on, to the verse, etc. That only shows that your mind is not active now. Then what is it? It is slow. Mind is slow. I am taking this extra pain to explain that process because you should not misconstrue all that as some dullness. It is not dullness. Are you dull now? Are you thinking a lot now? Some of you may be doing it also. Are you thinking? You look into yourself. Are you thinking a lot now? You are not thinking a lot. What? How is the mind? It is slow. It is moving slow. Means it is not running onto too many things. It is active, but it is moving, but slow. That is what is called attention. So, an attentive mind is a focused mind, is a slow mind. And then, the mind totally resolves. There is no mentation going on. So, means you are merged. It is like turning the lamp towards its source. So now the mind merges in its swarupa. So this you have to do. When you do that, so Vijayarani Swami describes it, drishtim jnanamayim krutva, your vision, you have a thing called vision. Suppose the lamp of the mind, you turn towards the world. You have to do it all the time. So you turn towards the world. What is it that you see in the world? Suppose a banker turns the lamp of the mind towards the world. What is it that he illuminates? Money, stock, up, down. So, profit, loss, that is what he illuminates. A banker. This banker means what? Always money, 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 money. So, that is his drishti, dhana drishti. So, he has cultivated dhana drishti. And now he sees dhana. See, lubdhaha dhanamayan jagat. There is a verse like that. A lubdha, is a greedy person. For him, jagat is dhanamayam. He sees everything. Suppose he sees a tree. So if I cut it and make it into lumber, how much will I get? That is lubdha dhanamayam jagat. Kamukha kaminimayam. This is another way, drishti. This is the drishti. So now this lamp called mind, so first you put a drishti into it and then turn towards the world. That drishti. So first you cultivate that drishti, then turn towards the world. So you cultivate that Ishvara drishti, jnana drishti. So drishtim jnanamayim, jnanamayim kritva. Drishti is the sleeping shabda. So drishtim jnanamayim kritva. So now, you turn this lamp of mind inward. Stop constant movement of the mind. Let the mind be silent. And it remains silent. It ceases to be active and remains silent. And then slowly it turns inward. Sarvasya chaham hruti sannivishtaha. As it turns inward, it merges in its source and it acquires the fragrance of love. Because when the mind is silent, the mind is quiet, the Atma, it comes to the surface. It comes into its own. Surface means don't take it as it is a metaphor. So you should give me the freedom to use certain metaphors, you know. So the mind, it acquires, when it is silent, it is soaked into that silence of love. Silence is love, it is ananda, it is wisdom, it is chitta, it is jnana, it is wisdom. That insightful it is, the mind becomes insightful. I tell you what could be the insight, I tell you how. Like I look at a home, I live in it all right. But it doesn't even cross my mind, it is my home. It doesn't even cross the mind. And if somebody says, my home, I feel very uncomfortable. Oh, what is this, my home? Very uncomfortable. That means the sense of possession is already diluted or even neutralized. That is insight. That is insight. Insight, I gave you an example of insight. Suppose somebody, oh, he is your enemy. Enemy? You have enemies also still? Oh, no. That is not possible. No, he is abusing you. He may be abusing me, all right. But he is not enemy. Oh, you mean to say that while he is abusing you, are going to bless him? Yeah. That is what I am supposed to do and that is what I am doing already. That is insight. This insight, how will you get? By going into the world, you won't get that insight. So by turning the lamp of the mind towards the world, you don't get any insight. You get only stress. That is all you get. So when you turn this lamp of the mind towards the source, and the mind becomes silent, emerges into the silence, it gains insight. It gains, of course, a prepared mind. Shravana manana. Shravanamanana, not a dull mind, not an ignorant mind. A prepared mind, it acquires that insight. And then it comes out. And the lamp is now turned towards the world. So, drishtim jnanamayim kritva. So, first you make that vision like that. then pashyet brahmamayam jagat. Then you look around. You see love everywhere. There is love everywhere. The breeze is love. There is love in the breeze. The trees, they are embodiment of love. The birds, they are love in flight. The human beings, they express love in their own way, quite often inhibited to a large extent because of this ahankara and all that, but still, however much it is covered up, still it makes its presence felt. Some love here, some love there. It is all love everywhere. The entire universe is deluged, or it is pervaded by love. You see love everywhere. Then you see peace everywhere. When you have that inner silence, did you ever notice earth, how silent it is? Space you see, oh my God, how silent it is. And then the trees, animals, birds, the river. River, it is making some noise, but still there is silence in the background of that noise. The breeze is silent. Everything is silent. For me, everything appears silent. Because the drishti has silence in it, and you turn towards the world. So drishtim jnanamayim krutva. So like that, so you have to prepare the mind. Otherwise, generally the outlook, the vision becomes very outward, and a worldly vision, and then you cannot appreciate what is Ishvara. You end up with some names and forms and some concepts about Ishvara, conceptual Ishvara. So Ishvara has he likes some and he dislikes some. All imagination. And so he rewards some and he punishes some. Like that. And I am in the rewarded category. So like that. So it is all conceptual Ishvara. That doesn't help. So the advice is, Hridi Sannivishtaha, I am in your heart. That doesn't mean I am not anywhere else. In fact, Ishvara is everywhere. There is no without and there is no within. You see, we say up, down. Really speaking, there is no up, there is no down. What is up and what is down? There is no up, there is no down. But always a standpoint. So up and down, somehow some meaning we give to them. Similarly, so there is a sense of identity with the body, and a sense of personality is still hanging on in the mind. And so with reference to that, we talk of bahihi antaha. It is very much a standpoint, nothing more than that. But we hold on to that standpoint because still this sense of identification, it persists. And therefore, in that sense, outer and inner. So once you know the truth, there is no within, there is no without. But in the beginning, in the sadhana stage, there is the within and there is the without. And so, look within. So, search within. Do the search. Hanuman was searching for Sita. All wrong places he was searching. He was searching where he was searching? In the city he was searching. Ravana's city is something more than Manhattan. If you see Valmiki's description, Manhattan pales before Ravana's city. Manhattan is a poor shadow of Ravana's city. And so Hanuman spends all his available time. He has certain time available to him. Let us say 8 hours shift. 8 hours is available to him. He spent 7.5 hours searching in Ravana's palaces. No surprise, he never get anything. And then you see what happens to Hanuman. He is totally frustrated. Hanuman is frustrated, no surprise, people are frustrated. If human beings, when they search for happiness in the world, they search for fulfillment in the world, and they search for God in the world, in the religious people, they search for God in the world, in doing so, they are frustrated to no end, I tell you. Did you see people running after money getting frustrated? Don't you see that? They are utterly frustrated. Google is very frustrated today. That is what New York Times says. Yesterday they are very frustrated. Because the money earned per click has fallen down. Can you believe it? They were earning 15 cents per click. Now they are earning only 9 cents per click. Papa, poor. Very frustrated. So now urgently something has to be done. They are raking their brains. Now how to improve this per click income? Frustrated. You make it 15 cents, you make it 20 cents per click. Will they be frustrated or fulfilled? Still frustrated. The worldly people are frustrated. There is nothing else to say about it. They are frustrated. And the religious people are equally frustrated. They are running around the whole place and getting frustrated. Oh, in Tirupati we go and they push this way, that way, there is no proper food, there is rush, this and that. And then go to Kashi, more frustrated. Go to Hrishikesh, more frustrated. I am a bit honest, please don't mind my honesty. So, people are frustrated. They are bound to be frustrated. What else they get? Like Hanuman searching in... Then what Hanuman does? He cries bitterly. You see, one has to cry bitterly, I tell you. Unless one cries bitterly, the doors won't open. Means crying bitterly means, do you have that earnestness, that seeking, total uneasiness in the absence of wisdom. That uneasiness. It is like a lubdha, a greedy person. When his box of money is half full, he becomes very uneasy and he cannot withstand that uneasiness. Like a fever. When the box is full, he becomes quiet a little. So that kind of uneasiness which we feel for the world, people are mad after the things of the world. When they are equally mad for the truth, they will get the truth. They should be there. It is called a divine madness. One should be equally mad for the thing, for the truth. They are always half-hearted and very clever all the time. Try to grab both ways. They want to be on the same side of the wall at the same time. Very clever, I tell you. That's why it never works. And it makes people frustrated. People who run after the pleasures of the world, they get frustrated. So the worldly people are frustrated, the religious people are frustrated. The religion has not solved anybody's problem of human predicament. It is not going to solve also. There is only one solution, like Hanuman. One has to bitterly cry for the truth. My life is soon going to end and I have to gain the truth. What is this? Like that one has to cry and turn the back towards the world. Prushtato krutva jagat. So, like Hanuman, he turned his back towards Lanka city and he was crying and opened the eyes and he sees the forest. Ashoka vanam. Shanti. Everything is silent, quiet. Some kind of a divinity it is. Divinity suffusing the whole place. And then he thought, oh my goodness, this is where I should seek. Sita Shanti Mupadaya. Sita is symbolic. She stands for Shanti. And Hanuman is the sadhaka. He is the yogi. He wants Shanti and he is searching in Manhattan for Shanti. In the world, Manhattan stands for the world. So he is searching in the world for Shanti. you get shanti in the world, you get happiness in the world. It's a pipe dream it is. So you show the back to the world and then take steps towards the forest, aranyam. So look within and search within. In fact, very interestingly, when Hanuman turns the back towards the Lanka and takes a few steps into the forest, that Ashoka Vanam, you see the description, he is welcomed by the nature there. Suddenly there was a breeze and a few flowers fell upon him, as though they are throwing flowers. Welcome, hey Hanuman. When you turn within, you will be welcomed like that. That inner silence, that fullness, that perfection. It cannot be put in words. It will welcome you. You turn within, you will be welcomed. And then Hanuman doesn't search for Sita. He doesn't search. He takes a few steps and then he gets an insight. Suddenly he sees a tree. He gets the insight. This is where she will be. But she is not there yet. But he thinks, no, she will be here. She will arrive here. This is where I will wait for her. No searching. He abides peacefully. He abides peacefully. He goes to the top of the tree. That is the yoga. This is all yoga, symbolic. He goes to the top of the tree and sits there and abides peacefully without doing disturbance, without showing the character of a monkey. So it's just, that is the mind. So, without getting distracted, this way some fruit here, some fruit there, no distraction. Or some curiosity, what is going on. So, without any distraction, he abides peacefully. What we do in meditation, shamata, abides peacefully. And then, he sees Sita. So, sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. Ishvara is just abiding in your heart. Don't say, oh, Ishvara is everywhere. Don't say that. It doesn't work. Be judicious. Ishvara is everywhere is all right. Don't make it simplistic like that. Everywhere you don't see Ishvara, you see Namarupas, be honest about it. You see friends and foes, you see Sva and Para. Mine, not mine. That is what you see everywhere. Do you see Ishvara everywhere? Be honest. That is true, but hrudi sannivishta, first steps first. The first step is turn within, look within, search within. Your search will not be a failure. Like Hanuman's search, you will succeed because you know why? Ishvara is sitting there. Suppose you say, I don't want Ishvara, I want happiness. That is sitting there. You think Ishvara is a person? Ishvara is happiness personified, embodiment of a repository of happiness. That is what Ishvara is. He is sitting there. Somebody else may say, I want some peace and quietude and silence. That is what Ishvara also is. Ishvara is Sthanu. Shiva is Sthanu. Sthanu means quiet, silent, peaceful. Motionless, that is the sthanu. You will find Ishvara within. No, I want fulfillment. I tried money, it doesn't give. I tried pleasures, they don't give fulfillment. I want fulfillment. God bless you, you will get it there. Because Ishvara is the fulfillment. No, I want life. Somebody wants to live longer. I want life, I don't want death. Okay, if that is what you want, turn within. Ishvara is the Sat. Sat means timeless being. That is the Sat. Therefore, search in the heart. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishtaha. We'll continue with this verse in the next class. Om Purnamadaha. Purnasya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. హరిః ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః హరిః ఓం తత్సత్ శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.